Okay, so basically we have machlokas about hasra, right? Question is, does a rodef need hasra?
Need to be warned?
Need to be warned before you kill him? Or does he not need hasra? Right? And I guess that's one hafkamina. Another hafkamina is the whatever called a katan. The katan is the pursuer. Okay, so a katan, if a katan is pursuing another katan or pursuing someone to kill them, so could you kill the katan?
Because if you say nit hasra, part of hasra is the acceptance of the hasra, is
knowing what the hasra means. You realize what's going on. You realize that if you do this thing, we're going to kill you. If you keep pursuing him, we're going to kill you. So and he has to accept it and say, oh, I understand that. I'm doing it anyways. So a katan is not of the right mind to be able to make that type of a judgment. So if he's not a barachi of kabbalah hasra, it's not subject to accepting it. So therefore, if you say that you need hasra by a rodef, then a katan can't really be a rodef. You can't kill a katan. But if you say that a rodef doesn't need hasra, doesn't need to be warned, you can just go and kill him. So then it can be a katan also. Be a katan also. Right? Okay, that's basically the machlokas we have here, right? Okay, so the question was as far. What's the svara? Why would you say Machter does or does not need? Rodef. Why would you say Rodef does or does not need Hasra? I mean, I think you're just right. On the surface, based on the way you're learning Rodef, you'd say that you shouldn't need Hasra. Because Hasra is a halacha that when Bezdin punishes someone for their crime, you have to verify that they really did their crime willingly, intentionally, all that. Right? Rebelliously, whatever it is, right? But it's a din of Bezin punishing a guy and make sure that he deserves it. But a rodef, when you kill a rodef, it's not because he did a terrible crime that he deserves of death. He didn't even do a crime yet. Only thing is that he's endangering the life of the victim, the nirdaf. And you're faced with a situation where it's either you have to decide between the life of the rodef and the life of the nirdaf. One of them is going to die. And the Torah says is that since the rodef is involved in Avera, so it resolves it on the side of the nirdaf. He's the victim, this guy's the aggressor. So it says, is save the, you could review it totally from the framework of the pursued, the nirdaf, and say you're allowed to save the victim at all costs. Even the nafshos rodef, even if it means the rodef's going to get killed, you're going to have to kill the rodef. But it's not a punishment to the rodef. So if that's the case, then what does that do with warning him? Warning is, are you amazed? Are you certain that you're an evil guy? It doesn't do with that. It's just an idea that he's endangering, and if you can't warn him, what, then you can't do it? The bottom line is the whole svara of the resolution and the conflict and all that has nothing to do with how evil the guy is and how amazed and how certain he is that whatever. What do you need it for? On the surface, you'd say, is who needs Asra here? Don't do it with Asra. It's misapplied. So it's a question. I mean, Rav Huna makes good sense. The question on, I guess, whoever asked him, Rav Chisda, what's the why? Why would Rav Chisda? It seems like he holds by it. I don't know. He's attacking Rav Huna. It seems like he's holding by it. I mean, for purpose, let's assume Rav Chisda argues. Okay, I don't know. He could whatever, but it seems like he does because he's arguing. He's trying to attack Rav Huna. So let's just to keep things life simple. Let's assume Rav Chisda argues. So why does Rav Chisda hold? They need Asra. Right, why would he need Hasra? It's nothing to do with Hasra. It's a misplaced, it seems to be a misplaced institution here. Yeah, I mean, all the Rashi says, funny, he says, hey, I cut on, Avagal, the cut on who will allow Vakibal Hasra, he can accept Hasra, the Gabi Radifa, Dino Gada. Vis-a-vis Rodef, his halacha is the same as a Gada. Okay, vis-a-vis Rodef, he's the same status as a Gada. And he says, because Hasra is only the verb Bezdin. A peasant can't kill a guy and kill someone unless he kills that Asra. But this isn't Bezdin. So maybe like this is that, normally the question is how do you kill a Rodef when he really didn't do anything? Okay? I mean, normally you kill a guy because of the crime which he committed. And there's like a justice in killing a sinner. Okay, the Torah dictates the justice that certain sins are chayav misa or whatever, and we kill them. But here you have a rodef who didn't do any. Like, what do you do? I mean, he ran after a guy. It's a bad thing. It's mean. It's, you know, whatever it is. Threatening, assault, whatever. But, I mean, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't commit a crime which really warrants death. Maybe he will, but he didn't. Okay, so how do you just kill him? How do you just take a guy's life? So, previously we answered is that it's the gavra becomes a chafza. Okay, which means is that the person simply becomes like an object of the hatzala, of the saving of the nirdaf. Halacha is you have to save the nirdaf, save the victim, at all costs. It involves this guy's death, but the nirdaf is more important than the rodef. So, but it's not like you're killing, you're not involved in killing the rodef. You're not punishing the rodef, you're not killing the rodef. It's not nonesh, it's not bezin, it's really saving the nirdaf at all costs. So he's simply like another cost. Okay, he's that's what I say, he's like a chafza. You're not judging him as a person and saying, is he a good guy, is he a bad guy, is he a this guy? It's an idea of, Torah tells you in the situation of rodef and nirdaf, you treat the person as just another object, another thing which is necessary in order to save the nirdaf. Save the nirdaf, period. Okay, involves killing, whatever. You're not judging him. You're not treating, you're right, judge a person, you have to have a court, you have to say, is this crime really that terrible, is it, you know? But here you're not judging him. You're basically saying, as the Torah is telling you, and you're faced with the situation of a chase, you're obligated to save the victim, no matter what. And that may involve killing the rodef, unfortunately. Okay, the person becomes relegated to a chafta. Good? Okay. But it could be that Rav Chisda, and by the way, that's why it could even be a katan. Who cares? Katan, a small innocent kid, or whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, he's a rodef. He's endangering the life of the other kid, and you have to save the other kid at all costs. So, is the kid a rasha? No, the kid's not a rasha. I mean, I am a bechira. Right, probably not a bechira, but whatever. Bottom line is that he's endangering this other kid's life, and therefore we have to save the other kid's life at all costs. But it could be that Rav Chisda did not like that. To say that, we're just going to render a person into a chafza and just ignore the fact that they're a human being who is subject to judgment, he held that he held you can't do that. He held that you can't kill a person if you don't involve his gavra-ness, so to speak. Okay, you can't just kill a person unless it's a punishment, unless it's a deserved type of a thing. Unless the guy brings it upon himself through his decision making. Okay? So now, but the guy didn't do a crime. He didn't really do anything. But the saying is that if a guy chases someone, he consciously, knowingly sets up the situation where the nirdaf has to be saved. And he knows that the Torah favors the life of the nirdaf over the life of the rodef, and therefore he is deservant of this punishment. Okay, so it is like a punishment. It's not a typical onesh. Normally an onesh is for a crime that you already did. Here it's like for the crime of chasing the guy, the crime of setting up the situation where the nirdaf is life is in danger. So it's like, it's a different kind of a crime. But there's a justice to it, and the guy knows, everyone knows, these are the consequences of chasing after a guy. This is the principle, and therefore you as a gavra have to understand that this is what happens. And we'll make you aware, we'll tell you, listen, you're chasing a person, the Torah has a favor of the nirdaf over the rodef, and you're risking your life by doing this. And if he says, okay, I understand, then you kill him. But if he doesn't say that, and he doesn't understand those terms, then you can't just kill him. Because you can't kill a person unless the gavra deserves it, so to speak. And the deservingness, the deservingness doesn't just mean because God said so, it means because the guy understands. We don't do it until the guy is asra. That's a general principle. And in onesh, we don't punish a guy until he understands and he knows the consequences before he does the thing and he accepts them. So here you have a guy, you're saying is that his crime of running after someone warrants his death, and it may be true, but did he understand that as a gavra? Was he well aware of that? And if not, then not only Bezin, but then Torah can't warrant killing him. He's a human being has rights, has a right to live, And asra is where the person, so to speak, gives up. That's what they say. It's hiter atzma lemisa. That's what they call asra. He's like permitting himself to be killed. Okay, he's saying, I understand. I understand the terms, and I'm saying, afo pekin. I mean, they're doing it anyway. So then he's giving up his right to live. But short of that, he's a human being. A human being has a right to live. So the only way you can get rodef is, so it's true, the crime in its own right doesn't warrant the killing. But it's the crime because of that it involves the whole situation of the nirdah, therefore it warrants him to be killed. But it still operates like a normal, it operates like an onesh to a gavra, whereby you can't kill him if he doesn't know the terms willingly and accept the terms willingly. And that's why katan you can't do it too, because katan doesn't have that type of a decision making ability. He's a katan. His das isn't worth it. You tell him they understand that if you do this we're going to kill you. He says, I don't care. He's a katan. He can't judge these things. Okay, they're just like a katan can't be punished. His asra is his kabbal asra. It isn't worth anything. So that's the question, is that definitely everyone agrees that the reason why you kill a rodef is not because of his crime per se. The reason why, well, what gets his rodef going, okay, the juice behind the road, the whole situation of Rodef, is the fact that he's endangering the Nirdaf, and you have to save the life of the Nirdaf, definitely. But the question is, does that render the Gavra into a Chafza of Hatzolas and Nirdaf? And it's like a new type of a killing. Normally we kill a person as a Gavra, as a punishment, as a, based upon his judgments, his decisions. But here he simply becomes relegated to the role of a Chafza. As another component of Hatzalas Nirdaf, or do you say that there's no such thing like that? That it's true. What gets the whole impetus for the parsha of Rodef is because of the Hatzalas Nirdaf, but that has to cast itself in the world of Onshem, has to set itself up as a punishment to a human, to a gavra, and as such has to be the gavra has to be aware and knowing of what he says. Of what's going on, and he has to accept it. And if he doesn't, then you can't kill him. That's like what the rice of the way it has it. It says, this is what you tell him. You say you should know that he's a Jew, he's a Ben Bris, and the Torah says if you spill the blood of a blood, then your blood is spilled. And the Torah says, save this guy, save this life instead of this life. And it's like. Yeah, that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says also. He says, "Yumas hames ad sheyate atzol misa." That's the principle. Is that you kill a person? Yumas hames. He says, "Doesn't mean you kill the dead man. To kill a dead man means you can't kill a guy until he permits himself to misa. Through his acceptance of asra, he's permitting himself to be killed. So he's a human being and a gavra. Gavra, you can't just kill a human being until he accepts his fate. He accepts the asra, and short of that, you can't kill a guy." That's the argument. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm saying, obviously the reason why you're killing him is because saving the Nirdaf. Okay, and that's why, for instance, if you don't have to save him, if you get to kill, take out a limb or whatever, definitely it's because you're saving the Nirdaf. But the question is, could you just ignore the fact that he's a human being and just save the Nirdaf, forgetting about him as an individual? Or do you say that has to make sense in the framework of the Gavra? So he has to accept, he has to understand the terms, understand the thing, realize the crime which is for which he deserves to be killed, and then you could save the Nirdaf and forget about him. But if he doesn't, it has to make sense in both frameworks. It's true, he's a Chafza, so far as Hatzalas Nirdaf, he's a Chafza. But it has to also make sense in the framework of the Gavra. So the framework of the Gavra is once he's Yate Hatzal Misa, then in the framework of the Gavra you could kill him. But yeah, you're not, the second you wouldn't have to kill him, but the second the Nirdaf wouldn't necessitate it, then of course you're not going to kill him because it's not the actual crime. But it just has to be interpreted in the framework of a Gavra. That's what he holds, is that it's based upon the Nirdaf, based upon Hatzalas Nirdaf, but you just can't kill a person without it making sense. He's a human being, and if you're not Yatei Hatzal Misa, if it doesn't make sense in the framework of a Gavra, you can't kill him. Ravuna's Chiddush is that it's not true. Is that this is a whole new institution, and the Gavra becomes like Chafta. You have to decide between two people, and you have to decide in favor of the Nirdaf, and that's it. Does the guy have, is it fair? Did he judge, whatever? Is that a fair? Look, is it fair to the Nirdaf to get killed? The situation is you have to decide between two lives, and you decide in the favor of the victim. That's the resolution. Save him from Avera. The other guy is an Avera also. Okay, so David asks, he says, do you have the same question by Machteras? It doesn't seem like discussing Asura by Machteras, just by Rodev. But at least on the surface, that's Ravuna's Togme. He says, you know, well, yeah, I mean, it's arguable that that's where Chista is saying that you need Asura. I mean, you could say it's the same question by Machteras, but it just doesn't seem that way. It seems like it's a question by Rodev. But it seems by Machteras, they're not saying that you need Asura. I mean, maybe he says Machtar to Zui Asrasa, but I mean, it seems like in general you don't. When he breaks in, that's it. You don't need Asrasa. So the whole story is that you need Asrasa in order to kill the person. So how is it that you could just kill the Rodif? Kill the Machtar's guy? Doesn't seem there's Asrasa there. That's what I think. Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's because his name is Adam. Because that's what it's saying. Is that Torah is Mechadesh, Torah posits that when a guy's Machteras, the Torah defines his life as a non-life. He's worthless. He's a guy who's not a. He's like a gavur katila. He's like a dead man. So now of course you can shoot him like a chafta. Now there's no big deal. And then the Torah gives you supposed to kill him or whatever. But the Rodef isn't an Eldamim, at least the way we're learning, right? I mean, the Grizz learned he is, right? But I mean, the story we're learning is that Rodef isn't an Eldamim, he's a regular guy. So he's a regular guy, and that's the idea. Nefesh, he's a real Nefesh. So how do you just kill a Nefesh? So Nefesh, you need to give Asura according to Rechista. But what's it called? It is, he's not really Nefesh. Right, that's what he's saying. Eldamim means he's not really Nefesh. Like philosophically, right? Like the point is, we're not saying philosophically you can't kill a human being until you warn him. It's a halachic point. It's a halachic human being has dam, he has right. He has halachic. The halacha protects his life. You can't just kill him. So how do you just kill him? You say he's a chafta, but he's not. He's a gavra. He's damim. But once he's ain lo damim, Torah defines ain lo damim. That's what it's saying. He's like kamish ain lo, right? Had a Rashi. There's a good Rashi who said he defined ain lo damim. Give me a second. Let me just find it. Ain lo damim. Yeah, like Rashi says, "Ein lo damim." It's the first Rashi in the Gemara. He says, "Hari l'cha kamisha ein lo dam v'neshama." He's like a person who doesn't have a blood or a soul. Amudel argo, and it's permitted to kill him. Okay, so it means that's he's basically not even being. He's like an animal. So you kill animals. You don't have to. He's not a gavra. That's what it means. He's not a gavra. That's it. So now you don't have to worry about punishing or warning him. That's it. Ein lo damim. But by Rodev, he's not an Eldamim the way we're learning. He's not an Eldamim, he's a Indach Nefesh and Nefesh. He's a Nefesh. So how do you kill him? So Rahuna says, look, the situation of Nirdaf of Rodev renders him a Chafta. But, says, that's it. He could be treated as a Chafta. But Rav Chista says, I understand that idea, but you can't just ignore that he's a Gavra. You have to basically, you still have to warn him. If he doesn't, then it's not going to work. So one question. So let's see some of these proofs. Okay. So what is he wants to prove it from the abortion case, right? So Rav Chista wants to prove it. Says because halacha is once the fetus sticks his head out, so you can't kill him. Can't kill the fetus because ain docha nefesh ain nefesh. So it says, but why don't you say that the fetus is a rodef, right? The fetus is a rodef. He's a chafta who's who's endangering the life of the mother, and therefore we should be able to kill him, right? And there's you can't warn him. You know he doesn't have any knowledge of what he's doing. Who really cares if he has knowledge of what he's doing? Point is that the fetus is endangering the life of the mother, and therefore we should be able to kill him. If you say that Rodef works, you need a gavra. You need to kill the gavra. You have to really relate to him as a human being and explain to him his choices. I understand. You say a fetus being born doesn't know what's going on, but once you're telling me that a Rodef is just like a chafta, that you treat the human being as a chafta, it was endangering the yatzala, so the yatzala of the mother, and allows you to save the mother no matter what. So if that's the case, so doesn't that, the fact that you can't kill the baby, doesn't that prove that you need hasra? So the answer is no. That's different. Because meshamaya karat fila. Because it's not the baby running after it, but it's from Shemayim. Somehow like a natural thing. Right? Okay, so what's the answer? Okay, so maybe like this, is that there's a difference. Like, we say that he has to be a gavra. Okay, when you say there's a gavra here, there could be two things. Like one thing is, what we're saying is like, Rav Chisda is saying is, in order to kill a guy, you have to kill a gavra, which means is that it has to be justified in the framework of a human being who's making a decision, and you're punishing him because of his decision. So then you need a gavra with das, who's really, you know, fully thinking person with full judgment, and he's deciding that he's going to give up his life. And a katan is incapable of that. But we don't mean like a katan isn't a gavra. Like a katan does decide to do things. Like if a katan is running after someone, you say that's a human being running after another person. It's an action. It's a human action. It's not a human action. It's just like he doesn't have human culpability, because the fact that you say that he's his bechira is he doesn't really have bechira or something. You know, his mind isn't fully developed. But it is a human action of a human being chasing another person. So the situation of rodef is where there's a rodef. A rodef means is a gavra who is running after another gavra and endangering him. One gavra endangering the life of another gavra. So it means he has to be in the birth process. It's basically just a natural process of birth, in which case the body of the fetus is endangering the mother. But that's not a rodef. That's not a gavra of a rodef. So you don't need him. It's true, he's a chafza. But who's a chafza? You treat a chafza a rodef. A person who's doing a maisa of redifa, a person who's running after someone, is treated in terms of onshim. In terms of onshim, you treat him, you don't give him rights of a person in terms of his justice. Treat him like a chafza. But he has to be a person, he has to be doing a maisa of redifa. He has to be running, there has to be a maisa adam. It has to be a human action of running. Now you could say, it's a little bit in need of an explanation of why that is the case, perhaps. But I think that's just finding the answer. Maybe we'll go a step further, but you guys follow me? Yeah. It could be also, I'm wondering, is like, just to make it a little, perhaps a little more sense. Yeah, like perhaps, I'm not sure about this, but like, for instance, if a kid killed someone, so we don't kill him, right? But would you say that he did an avera? Is that a maisa avera? Yeah, I would say so. He's a person, and he's killing. That's a crime. Now look, he's not... But that's not a misasik. I'm not saying if a kid... Well, it depends what you're talking about, if it's misasik or not. I'm just saying is that if you have a person... A person who doesn't have full das, but he decides to take a gun and shoot someone and kill them, then he's killing the person. He's doing murder. Now, you may say he's not culpable, we'll try him as a whatever, we won't try him, we can't punish him. But it's a maisavera. He's a person who's doing a maisavera. I'm saying maisavera doesn't say you're like lo sirtzach if you're a gadol. Lo sirtzach, lo sirtzach. He's a kedush Yisrael, and he's doing a maisa of killing. Hold on a second, okay? So I say that it's still a maisa avera, and he's involving himself in maisa avera. It's true we're not going to punish him because we realize it didn't stem from bechira, but the system has definitions of maisim, and a maisa is a maisa avera. For instance, like if he eats pork, is he doing a maisa avera of eating pork? So I say yes, he's eating pork. Now look, he's not so responsible. For instance, an adult can't feed him pork. You don't say he's not eating pork, he's not doing another thing. He's doing it, he's doing the maisa, just he's not responsible, he's not commanded in the system, so he doesn't have to worry about that. But it's a maisa, so I'd say is that if you say that the determining factor between the rodef and the nirdaf is hatzalam and ha'avera, so you say it doesn't matter whether he's like, he has full das and he's amazed, the point is that the hatzalam and ha'avera is the machriya. And therefore, as long as he is the rodef and he's doing the maisa of era, so he's doing the maisa of killing. So therefore, we favor the side of the victim and not the person who's doing the maisa of era, that we're saving his life and we're saving him from avera. So that's what we favor. But you can't say that a fetus is doing a maisa of era. That's misasek. That's mishmaya karatvi. That's not a maisa. It's not a maisa ha'adam. So you need it to be a human action for it to be a maisa vera. It's not a human action, as long as we're. So, but yeah, a 2-year-old does it, just rolls over and kills someone, that's not a Maisei Adam, that's like Nisasek, it's not a Maisei Adam. Mishmai, that would be Mishmai Karatvia. You know, but once it's a child, the case that Gemara is taking is a child who's running after another child to kill him. So it's a conscious action he's trying to kill. It's a human action, it's Maisei Avera of Rizicha. Now it's true, we're not going to try him for that, but it's a Maisei Avera, and if we have to decide between the Rodev and the Nirda, if we say, we favor, we save him from Avera. For instance, would that have a negative effect on a person? If a kid is 11 years old and he murders someone, do you think that has some effect on his soul when he's an adult? I mean, I would think it would. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I don't know. See, look, you can't say it's an Avera or whatever, but, I mean, he did the Maisa Avera, and he has to undo it somehow. I mean, his energies or whatever, psychologically, whatever you say, but... Maybe, but whatever, that's a different discussion. But halachically, it's a ma'isavera. It doesn't say ma'isavera l'shirtzach if you're a gadol. It's just, you're not obligated, you're not commanded in the thing, so you can't punish the guy. But it's still ma'isavera, and I'd say the parsha of Rodev still applies. But if mishmaya karatvi means if it's not a human, it's not a ma'isaya adam, so that's not, he's not even a Rodev. But it doesn't, he's not even a Rodev altogether. But a katan is a Rodev. It's just that it's not a crime in the framework of a gavra, of a chira. So if you say that, yeah, that in order to punish a guy, you have to relate to him as a gavra, then you couldn't kill him. But if you, who knows more about that? Yeah, so let's see. Hold on one second, Randy. Let me just say, I guess for next time, we have to do is we have a few things left. Is we have these, it seems like from the Gemara, I mean, we'll see, is that that even if you say you don't need Hasra, even Rav Huna, it seems like you should give him Hasra. The Rama has it also, but the Gemara, because the Gemara brings a proof that to Rav Huna, you don't need Hasra from a Braisa, which seems to say you do need Hasra. But it's not a real Hasra. You don't need a Kabbalah Hasra, so it seems like somehow even Rav Huna needs some sort of Hasra. So the Rama brings down by Rodef some sort of Hasra. But it's not a real Hasra. So the question is, what does that mean? What kind of Hasra is it then? Why do you even have to tell him anything? If you tell me you don't need an Hasra, but you do need to tell him. So we have to explain that. And then maybe we could also explain, it brings in this question about whether a Chaver needs Hasra or not. So the question is, whether a Talmid Chacham needs Hasra. And that's also a question. Talmid Chacham needs Hasra, because he says Hasra is only to make sure the guy's is differentiated and showing him Ezid. So Talmid Chacham doesn't need that, because he knows what the Halacha. And also that relates to whether you have to accept Hasra. If you hold that Atam Chal doesn't need Hasra, then also you don't need accepting Hasra. I mean, you'll see, you look at it. You can look at the Rambam also on that. About Hasra, whether Atam Chal needs Hasra. I have to try to find that for you. But it's very interesting. So that's like kind of a digression, but interesting one. So, and there's one other part, the last part of the Gemara we didn't get pshat on. Maybe we could explain that also. Yibai Sam, the last line of the Gemara. So I don't know how much we'll cover on Monday, but so I guess that's what we're doing. This should keep us busy. Once we do this, then we'll hopefully get to the Ram Rider.